Sure, we got to put on plenty of people online. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to call today's meeting of the Communication and Legislative Liaison Committee to order. With that, I will ask Madam Clerk to call the roll.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
I'm present.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Here.
Director Yeo.
Here.
Director Whitaker. Director Rowe.
Here.
Director Mendoza.
Present.
Director Ma'ai. Director Sheldon. Director Tran.
Here.
You do have a quorum.
Great. That brings us to the consent calendar, which is item one, the minutes of the previous meeting. Anybody like to make a...
I'll move the consent calendar.
Second from Roger Yeo.
Okay, we have a motion and second. Will you call the roll, please?
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Yes.
The motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Okay, that brings us to item number 2, which is the state legislative update.
Well, good morning, Mr. Chair and directors. You have Jason Gonsalves with the lobbying firm Joey Gonsalves and Son. I'll start with the good news. My update will be rather brief, as the legislature had their organizational session on this past Monday, December 5th. That's typically a ceremonial session for swearing in of new members, their families, and so forth. As the new director, Van Tran knows, having served in the legislature. So that said, this year was a little bit different. They introduced 113 bills. About a third of those are spot bills, so details still yet to be seen. But they solidified a compromise in the speakership battle that had been brewing since last June. And coming out of the November elections, the agreement is, and the election of Speaker Rendon to continue took place on Monday. But in the same resolution, which we've never seen before, at least going back 45 years in our firm, we've never seen before, in the same resolution, they designated Assemblymember Robert Rivas as the next speaker to come on board July 1st. So what that means for by way of process is when you have the bill introduction deadlines, the middle of February, those bills have to be in print for 30 days. And then, so you're talking the first hearings, the middle of March. By the time many of the bills, particularly the Senate bills, get over to the assembly, we could be advocating on bills with new chairs, because when the new speaker comes in, you will likely see a reshuffling of committee chairs and membership. So it's going to create a little bit of uncertainty by way of process that we'll just keep you apprised of as things move on. As for the new makeup of the legislature, it's the largest class we have seen since the passage of Proposition 28. That was the 2012 proposition that allowed for 12-year terms. So we will have 37 new members of the legislature, almost a third of the 120 members of both houses. And we'll see a like number turnover in 2 years when the speaker's class and Pro Tem Atkins and that class, the 2012 class, terms out. So we're going to see about two-thirds of the legislature, about a third now and another third in 2 years, turn over. Just quick numbers, Mr. Chair, the assembly started with 60 Democrats and 19 Republicans and one independent entered the election. Looks like they're going to end up with 62 Democrats and 17 Republicans, or likely 18 Republicans. There's a race that's too close to call, but is going to be certified down in Riverside and San Bernardino County. Today, the Republican, Greg Wallace, is up by 85 votes. Whether or not that goes to a recount is yet to be seen. So at a minimum, the assembly will maintain or grow its supermajority or mega majority to 62 Democrats. The assembly, much the same, they'll have 31 Democrats, 8 Republicans, and there is one race. The current Senator Melissa Hurtado is down by 245 votes to the Republican challenger, David Shepard. So that race is still yet to be called. We had a swearing in where some members may have been sworn in that may not ultimately hang on to those elections. So we'll see how that turns out in the coming weeks. Just lastly, the state budget, the California's economic pendulum has swung. As you will recall, we were fortunate enough, the state was fortunate enough to have nearly $100 billion surplus last year. The state has not met its revenue projections any month since the July adoption. The legislative analysts now forecast a $25 billion deficit. So quite a swing of revenues. Fortunately, there is some revenue that's been put into a rainy day fund, about $35 billion plus or minus. So that's, we'll see how the legislature grapples with what for many members will be an entirely different scenario than what they saw last year. And then lastly, given the new class, I know your executive team has started reaching out to your legislators, reelected and newly elected, congratulating them. But with 37 new members, our firm with Don and Jason with Edelstein and Gilbert, we'll have our work cut out for us just to continue to educate members on OCWD, who you are and what you do. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions. Happy holidays. And I'll turn it over to Jason and Don to see if they can correct or if I missed anything.
Nothing to correct, and you never miss anything, Jason. The only thing that I would add is just on the budget. The Legislative Analyst Office's projections are usually really highly regarded because they're a nonpartisan office. And they, in addition to that $25 billion deficit that they're calling out that Jason referred to, they note that their projections are independent of a recession. So if we run into a recession, that number could jump up as high as $50 billion from, that's all in the same report. So anyways, it's going to be a tough budget year anyway, you slice it. And that's all I'd have to add.
Did we say good morning?
Yeah. Great. Are there any questions for our state legislative advocates?
Director Maya is having trouble getting on. Somebody could help her.
Okay. I'll make sure she has the right login information.
Okay. I had sent it. She has a new email and I sent her the information. She's on the phone, she said. I'll try.
Yes, thank you. I just figured out how to unmute myself on the phone. So thank you very much, Kathy.
Okay. Excuse me.
Great.
I just don't know how to take myself off of unmute.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for our state legislative advocates at this time? Then we'll move on to the federal legislative update.
Well, thank you, Chair Bilodeau, and congratulations to Director Tron. So we're in the last couple of weeks of the 117th Congress. We were supposed to be out of session on December 16th. That looks highly unlikely due to the fight over the completion of the fiscal year 23 budget agreement. Best guess right now is it's a binary choice. They extend the lame duck session till around December 23rd, or they agree to disagree. They pass a year-long continuing resolution or a resolution to maintain government spending till mid-March and go home sometime in the next week or so timeframe. Our gut instinct tells us that we are going to see them in the House and Senate and the administration come to some kind of agreement on what we call the top line budget number that will allow them to basically distribute federal dollars to the various federal agencies as individual spending bills, and they'll pass a year long, or they'll pass a final spending bill. That's important because the district has funding earmarks for its PFAS cleanup in the spending bill for EPA. And assuming we do have a final spending bill, that earmark should stay in the final agreement, and you will get the start of federal assistance to help clean up the PFAS contamination in the basin. Generally speaking, all the other programs of interest when it comes to infrastructure remain fully funded. And because of the Infrastructure Investment Act that was passed about a year and a half ago, the federal funding for infrastructure assistance will continue without impact from the ongoing annual appropriations bill debate. So optimistic that we get a final spending bill and that the district will get its earmark of approximately $5 million for the PFAS cleanup effort. If I could move, Chair, to the Refuge Act. This is the ongoing effort by Senator Dianne Feinstein and Representative Ken Calvert to create a national refuge as part of the Riverside County Habitat Conservation Plan. The reason it's important is because in the map that the senator has provided in her bill S4669, elements of the Prado Basin, including Prado Dam, are captured in the proposed boundary outline for areas that would be incorporated into a Refuge Act, and I emphasize potentially incorporated into the Refuge Act. So we have been working with Senator Feinstein's office and with Senator Padilla's office, as well as Representative Calvert's office, to identify the concerns that the district has with respect to adverse impacts on its access to facilities and what have you when it comes to water supply reliability. So far, the responses we've received have been positive. We are working, I should mention, with a number of ad hoc coalition members that we've put together on behalf of the district. That includes Rancho California Water District, Eastern Municipal, Western Municipal. Greg Woodside has done yeoman's work with this effort and with Riverside Flood. Bottom line is, a letter went out that I believe staff has signed by all the public agencies to the senator and distributed also to the other members of the delegation, saying that, you know, without a robust savings clause to protect the access and uses of ongoing water supply reliability needs, as well as a new map that would not adversely impact the district and other agencies in carrying out their duties, that we cannot support, pursuant to the board's earlier actions, we cannot support the senator's bill, S4669. I would say at this stage, because of the effort to make changes to the bill and to explain the concerns that we have that have also been joined by tribal nations in Riverside County, that it now appears that it's highly, highly unlikely the bill will be taken up in this session, which means the process will restart in January when Congress convenes. We had a conversation yesterday with Representative Calvert's staff, and their desire is just to start anew in January, bring all the stakeholders in to talk about the framework of any Refuge Act, and then move forward with new legislation. So I think from the board's point of view and this committee's point of view, we're in a very good place to restart discussions and protect the interests of OCWD. I think the last thing I just want to touch on very briefly are two things. One is the Water Resources Development Act will go through the House of Representatives probably later today or tomorrow. The reason that's important is there is a provision in this bill that provides for authorization of construction of the Prado Ecosystem Program or project going forward. That, if enacted into law, will mean that there'll be an opportunity, if the district decides to pursue it, to get federal funding for the ecosystem project. And then I would also just parenthetically note that the WERDA bill that is being taken up has provisions to enhance water conservation, update flood control manuals, and also create a new federal called working group to deal with aquifer recharge and management of aquifers, and non-federal participants are eligible to be placed on this working group. And, you know, it may be when we see how it shakes out and what the group looks like from an implementation standpoint, it may be something that the district wants to look at and possibly participating in. And then closing things off, organizationally, Speaker in Waiting McCarthy has to be voted on January 3rd when Congress convenes. When that happens, then we expect that decisions will be made on committee chairs and committee or subcommittee chairs as the Republicans can take control of the House of Representatives. And then in the Senate, based on the Georgia election outcomes, everybody basically stays in the same position they were for committees of jurisdiction of interest to OCWD, for the most part, with the exception of the Appropriations Committee, which will have a new chairman and a new ranking Republican based on retirements. But again, these decisions will be formally made after the Speaker is elected by the Republican Conference and on the floor of the House. So Chair Bilodeau, that's where we are right now. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Do any directors have questions for Eric at this time? I don't see any hands. All right. Eric, well, thank you for your presentation.
Thank you.
Okay. You know, we didn't take action on number two or three, and they're both the same action. Would anybody like to make a motion to agendize these for the consent calendar at the December 21st board meeting?
So moved.
And I'll second it. Madam Clerk, can you call the roll, please?
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Those motions carry with 5 yes votes.
Great. That brings us to the Orange County Water District legislative goals and platform.
So thank you. Every year we run by our policies by our water producers. And so this October we did so, and we got 2 water producers, Newport Beach and Mesa Water, that gave us some feedback on policies that they'd like to see in next year's legislative goals and platform. We'll bring a draft platform to the committee in January, but we just wanted to check with the committee if these policies were something you'd want to consider. The first one is from Newport Beach. It's a fire sale of the state surplus ocean-bound wet season water, which would be during a wet year to make sure that water from Northern California is still flowing through the state water project canal at 100%. But at a huge discount of cost to Southern California. And then the other ones are from Mesa Water. It's dealing with water supply, encouraging economical and feasible water use efficiency that does not impede the GWRS or groundwater producers' local water supply assets, and encourage and facilitate voluntary water exchanges transfer programs. And under recycled water, recognize that recycled reused water is a resource. And then finally, under water transfers, support voluntary water exchange transfer programs that mitigate impacts on the environment, aquifers, water right holders, and third parties to the transfers, including those with interest in the facilities being used. So if the committee finds that these policies are consistent with the board, we can add that to the draft that we'll provide you in January, along with updates, like removing things that we've already done or adding some things like what Eric mentioned, the Riverside Wildlife Refuge Act, to our goals for 2023-24.
Great.
I'll move the recommended action.
And I'll second the action. Does anyone have any questions before we take the vote on the platform? I've reviewed it. It looks similar to last year's with some additions.
Right.
Seeing no questions, Madam Clerk, will you call the roll, please?
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries with 5 yes votes.
Great. That takes us to informational items. Item 5, Children's Water Education Festival update.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau and Christina. If I may share my screen, I have a brief presentation to go through for the next 2 items. Okay, can everyone see the presentation?
Yes.
Great. Okay, for the Children's Water Education Festival, so this will be the 26th year that the district hosts the Water Education Festival, which is open to all Orange County 3rd, 4th, and 5th grade students to educate them about the importance of water and the environment. So after 2 years being virtual, we are going back to an in-person format at UCI, and the festival will take place March 29th through the 30th. So far, here is an update regarding participation. We have slightly over 5,500 students registered to attend. All of the cities are represented in each board member's service area. We'll continue to work with the Orange County Department of Education to increase participation. In past years, we've gotten to close to about 7,000 students, and not quite sure how that will be, if we'll return to that number this year, but certainly we will try to increase that participation. In terms of presenters, typically we get about 60 presenters, so we have about 21 so far, including several UCWD booths to highlight the important projects and programs that the district works on to provide water reliability to the region. And then for volunteers and sponsors, those typically come on, more closer to January and February, but we do have a handful of volunteers. We get both district volunteers from the Disneyland Resort, in addition to volunteers from throughout the community, from companies and individuals as well. And then sponsorships, we'll make a bigger push in January, but so far we do have a couple sponsors. So next steps, we'll follow up with past teachers, presenters, volunteers, and sponsors. We'll continue to reach out to new schools, presenters, to try to solicit some new participation. And then we'll just coordinate logistics with UCI and our main coordinator, James Events, to plan a successful event in March 2023. And we are making a concerted effort again to try to really ramp up participation in the UCI community, whether it's volunteers, or presenters, graduate students in different departments. So hoping to get increased participation from UCI as well. And that's it for the festival. We'll continue to provide an update at the January and February meetings. Are there any questions about Children's Water Education Festival?
I've got a question, Mr. Chairman, if I may.
I will, my fellow anteater, please proceed.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm curious as to, in years past, has the district been hosting the event at UC Irvine, which is curiously out of the district, if I'm not correct. If I'm correct, it's out of the district. And whether other venues, and I'm not saying that we should, but I'm just for purposes of my own education purposes to find other venues or considered other venues, which may be even more convenient for the kids and teachers to participate in. Because knowing UC Irvine, it's a beautiful campus. It's a city within itself, and its parking is atrocious there. So, if you can elaborate on the venue, please.
I'd be happy to elaborate. Thank you, Director. The district started off hosting the festival. The first one was actually held in Anaheim at the Boeing campus, for under 1,000 students. And then since then, it's just grown tremendously through our partnership with the Disneyland Resort. We've hosted it at other venues like the Richard Nixon Library in Yorba Belinda, as well as for a long period, it was at a private park in Anaheim called Hidden Valley Park, which is no longer there. So you know, the Nixon Library and the Anaheim location. We simply outgrew the facility. For the Irvine one, it was closed down. So we have been hosting it at the past several years, probably about 6 or 7 years now, at UCI. We are certainly always looking every year at different venues. We've looked at the fairgrounds. We've looked at the Great Park. We've looked at Cal State Fullerton, other universities. But certainly, if you have any recommendations, we would be happy to look into them for future festivals.
Jean, I should mention that the parking is not as bad because we do it during Easter break.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Director Green. So we do host it at UCI only during the spring break for UCI. That is correct. So that the campus has a little bit more room. We host it at in the Eldrick Park area. So it's that nice green space. And I think the benefit of hosting it at a college campus, which we've tried to do the last couple of years, is just to give students exposure early on to a college setting. And we try to put some of the presentations in lecture halls as well, and enlist some of the participation from, you know, UCI universities and students. But certainly, you know, prices have been increasing tremendously at UCI to host this event, and we do try to offset that with sponsorship. But we would love to hear any suggestions and be happy to look into those, Director Tran.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the history.
You're welcome.
Great. Thank you for the update. I think that brings us to the Public Affairs Outreach Report.
Thank you, Chair Bilodeau. I have a brief presentation that I'll go through regarding outreach for the district and its projects and programs from November 2022. So some of the highlights you'll see listed here, the district continues to host virtual. Does anyone hear a loud beeping noise, or is that just me?
Nope, you sound good.
Oh, okay, sorry. Maybe that's just my... okay, so we'll continue to host tours in both a virtual and in-person format. We do continue to have a robust speakers bureau as well. The district submitted a press release regarding the AMWA Award, which was a distinct award recognizing the district in totality for all of its efforts to ensure a reliable water supply for Orange County. And then we continue to get out our monthly Hydrospectives newsletter, which we have revamped significantly, and we are getting more contacts onto that list. And then we did send out some construction notices as well for the Bond Basin storm drain repair. So those were a few highlights from November. This is our media and stakeholder outreach from November. We had about 198 million global media hits as a result of stories that either mentioned or featured the Orange County Water District or a project associated with it. Our social media followers continue to grow. They're at about 15,000 for the cumulative platforms. And here is a sampling of some of our top posts. We do see that featuring our employees and the projects and some of the short videos really do increase the engagement on our platforms. For our website, wanted to mention Information Services led a project in coordination with Public Affairs, and it was a project to work on really changes to the back end. So changing the platform to WordPress. And so that has been officially done, and the website looks largely the same. Wanted to note that there are a few little glitches and things that IS and Public Affairs staff are working on over the next few weeks to make sure that all of the links and texts and everything appears good. But moving to WordPress was a great decision by Bruce Dozier and his staff, and it'll allow us the flexibility to update the website. We weren't getting the support that we needed from the other platform, and it was outdated. WordPress is largely used by a lot of major companies and others. So hoping to make some changes next year moving forward in our website. If there are any problems that anyone sees on the website, please do send me an email and we'll address that as soon as we can. Looking ahead, just wanted to mention a few events to the directors. We are having a webinar on December 13th with Mesa Water. And that will focus on local supplies and the importance of increasing that supply so we're not reliant on imported waters. January 18th is an important milestone for the groundwater replenishment system that will celebrate the 15th anniversary of the project. So we'll have something small at the board meeting, and we'll continue to next week. We're going to actually start a kind of a large 6 to 8 week social media campaign highlighting all the significant achievements of the district. As I mentioned, the festival is in March. April 21st is the big event for the completion of our groundwater replenishment system. Next month, I will bring an item to this committee to kind of give an overview of details for the event, where we're going to have it, the flow of the event, attendance, et cetera. And then June 14th will be the 90th anniversary for OCWD. So we'll likely do something at a board meeting with board producers and employees just commemorating that milestone. Last night, the board approved a budget for the Orange County Water Summit, which is an event that's co-hosted by OCWD and MODOC. So staff will move forward in trying to plan that for the May-June 2023 timeframe. And then in the summer, we will look to host an employee event since the employees will not be at the main event in April. So for the webinar, and I see Stacy's hand, and maybe you wanted to comment on that. We are going to feature Paul Schoenberger and Maris, their board president, in addition to John Kennedy and Steve Sheldon, our board president. And they're going to talk about how OCWD provides water reliability. And Mesa is going to talk about the MRF facility and how they are ensuring local reliability for their stakeholders as well. As I mentioned, we are going to start next week the social media campaign. We want to make sure that we're featuring all directors. So we have sent out some quotes for you all to approve, and Director Van Tran will make sure and get something to you as well. We're featuring short videos and quotes from employees and directors. We're also doing a video with Mike Marcus and Jim Herberg, which will come out in January, a short video, 1 minute, commemorating the 15th and talking about that remarkable achievement. And then we'll do a press release. And we do have a commemorative bottle of water, GWS water. We already have it in the warehouse. We're just awaiting approval from the state. But we'll take the opportunity in January to roll out that new bottled water and kind of send it to our stakeholders so that they can share in the success of the milestone. So here's the label that our bottled water has, and we'll be using it throughout 2023 to share with those who have supported this project. And that concludes my presentation, Chair Bilodeau.
Great, thank you. I see Ms. Taylor has a question, potentially.
Good morning, Chair, committee members, and staff. Yeah, I'm sorry, I missed the public comment period at the beginning, but I first wanted to, on behalf of Mesa Water District, welcome your new director, Tran. So welcome. We look forward to working with you. And yeah, Mesa Water really enjoys our great working partnership with Orange County Water District. Looking forward to the webinar together. And also, of course, we will be a sponsor again. If you don't already have our commitment, Gina, on the festival, we will again be a sponsor and actively participate. And just also wanted to thank you for offering and receiving our input on your legislative priorities. Very much appreciate working with the district and your staff and consultants. That's all I have. Thank you.
Great, thank you. And actually, Stacy, I was the one that missed the public comment period. Anyone else have any public comments to address the board today? Great, seeing none. That brings us to, I will place all these items on the consent calendar. I think that's appropriate for the December 21st meeting. Are there any directors' announcements or reports this morning? No? Okay. General manager's announcements or reports. Mr. Kennedy.
Just one thing to let the committee know that we anticipate on Monday that we'll be complete with the final expansion of the groundwater replenishment system, and we will be on Monday recycling water from Plant 2 from the sanitation district. So good news there. There's still some secondary work to be done, but we will be recycling the water from plant two on Monday.
So I know last Monday you were thinking about trying to dial it up. Did that occur? There are some little glitches.
Yes, we've been resolving those glitches this week. Okay. So we've been treating water and basically pumping it out to the ocean. But on next Monday, we should be able to put that water into our groundwater basin. Yeah.
Fantastic news.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone. I have a great day. And I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much for participating.
Thank you.